Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name is Amin Alhassan, joined as always by Big Jer, Black Trey, and Jay Skills. And we got a guest today, but I'm going to hold off on introducing the guest before I tell you guys. Patreon.com/countthedings. That's where you get the overflow episodes. That's where you get the watch-alongs. That's where you get all the extra content, all the good stuff. Make sure you subscribe. Patreon.com/countthedings. I'm rushing through that because I want to get to the guests, man. Y'all know we've been reviewing Snowfall on this podcast for years and years. The newest season just premiered. First two episodes dropped. It's fire, as always. But, man, I'm excited, man, because today I'm excited for two reasons. I'm excited because, first and foremost, we got Dion from Snowfall. Quincy Chad is our guest today. Big Dion, you know who he is. He out here cutting deals with Franklin behind
hey, I mean, before we even start, bro, don't be lying to that nigga like the whole show is fire, nigga, because we going to talk about the Lions shit, too, nigga.
Hold on. Oh, the Tiger, yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up, bro. That was on my list. I was like, I wonder if we're going to talk about the Lions.
Before we get to all that, I just got to point out, the coolest thing about this is that, Quincy, you are a fan of the pod. You are a self-proclaimed fan of the pod, which is a huge honor to us because I don't know about the other guys. I always feel like we're just recording for ourselves. I don't even know if anyone listens. So to hear that, you know, you listen and you're a fan of the pod, that really is cool. But obviously, it's even cooler to know that you're on this show that we love as well.
Yeah. That's dope, man. Like I said, it's so funny when I met Trey because, like, you just so used to hearing somebody's voice. And then you meet him in person, it's like, wait, like, you're an actual fucking person. Like, even though you see him on the pod, like, it's like, oh, okay, you are like a whole person. You're not like this entity. Same goes for you, too, because I've been listening to you for years. Like, you've been all over the place. Levitard, all that shit. I used to listen to all of that. So, I'm happy to be here, man.
Trey actually is an algorithm, though. I hate to break it. He's not a real person.
Hey, this man, they just place me anywhere at this point, bro.
My eyes is playing tricks on me at Soho House, man. Right.
Trey GBT, he's just AI.
Yeah, exactly. Trey CPT. Yo, but all right, so where do y'all want to start with this, man?
Y'all want to start with the fucking Tiger, man? Well, honestly, what do you want me to say about that, man?
So first of all, I want you to talk about how a New York nigga gets casted as an OG LA nigga. And then secondly, who was your muse to basically channel this voice?
Oh man. All right. So I moved to LA right at the start of the pandemic. I know Trey, we've been through all this, but everybody else, all your listeners don't know. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. My parents are Trinidadian. And so I had been working, you know, acting in New York for a long time. And then moved at the start of the pandemic. That was like May 2020? Yeah, May 2020. Got here. The whole industry is basically shut down. And this was the first gig I booked in LA.
Damn.
So, yeah, when I got the audition, the actual audition scene, was my first, like, the first appearance when he comes in and has the thing with Leon, that little beef and shit like that. And so the interesting thing about, you know, you are a black man of my size that's an actor, you're going to play some gangster shit. Or at least you better lock it in because you're going to get a lot of opportunity. That's how it goes. That's just how the game goes. No matter where you went to school, how you speak, whatever, they see your size, whatever, they're like, oh, yeah, thug. You're going to have to do it. You look at Don Cheadle shit back in the day, like he was playing them little thug motherfucker, like running around. But it's kind of like a rite of passage. And so coming out here, you know, gangsters aren't that different from one place to another. And that's, depending on how you speak, obviously that's different, right? But the mentality and, you know, what you want, what you need in a scene as an actor doesn't really change. So I think when I first got the audition, first of all, I was a huge fan of the show, right? Because to me, and it's gonna sound like I'm biased, but I'm not, because I used to watch the shit before I got on, three seasons of it. This show, specifically, the acting is at an extremely high level, right? There are other shows that I've done, it doesn't compare. Right. No, everybody shows up, and everybody's got shit in
the. By the way, this nigga was on Power too. By the way,
yeah. I didn't want to bring it up. I wasn't gonna bring it up.
Nah, I just mean, yo, like it's no disrespect. I mean, they know I love them, and I got a lot of friends on Power, and you know, I'm from New York, and I think Power, like, to see the way that it's grown is crazy. Mm-hmm. But for me, Snowfall, you know, it just. I don't know if it's the pacing, the writing, the storytelling, the actors, the people they choose. Everything just seems like it's just like, just totally locked the fuck in. And so when I got the audition, I was like, oh no, I got to bring my shit. I got to be on my shit. Ain't no way I'm getting this shit unless I really hit it. And so, you know, you take every audition, you do your thing and you kind of just put it in the air and let it go. And so, you know, I watched a lot of videos. I watched way more stuff after I got the part than I did before, because it was kind of a quick turnaround to get it in. And I actually, just a little peek behind the curtain, right? In the old days, pre-pandemic, you would go in person and do this shit. But now we're doing everything over fucking Zoom. And so I'm taping an audition with an actor friend of mine who's on a laptop. Like, so I got my laptop stacked on boxes and shit. And I'm doing the scene with him while my phone is recording it. And then I'm sending that tape in, as opposed to like when you back in the day, you go sit down, you wait in the waiting room, you pull up in the audition, you do your thing with the reader and the casting director. They got any notes, they give it right back. You do it again and you out.
Is it easier or harder doing it this way?
Oh man. I mean, I'm a game time. I'm a game day player, y'all. Like, so I like to be in the room. I need that pressure. You know, I like that pressure. So for me, it's harder because it's easier because you can just be lazy. You in your crib, you can do it 100 times, whatever the hell. But for me, I like to be in the room. I like to feel the energy. I like to have the feedback from the casting director too, because like you might choose some wild shit to do and they might like it, but they might want to see you do something different and you can't get that right away. Like, so sometimes a little bit difficult. But going back to what you asked about, who is my muse? I mean, it's like I watched so much Tukey Williams video. It's crazy. Like, that's what all I was watching. I was watching that, and I was just anything 80s crip I could see on YouTube. I was just, I'm just watching. I can't even tell you what I watched. It was like hours and hours and hours of shit.
Now, real quick, Trey and Jason, you guys are Los Angeles natives. You grew up around characters like this. How would you rate Quincy's portrayal of 1980s King Crip?
My man Jer took a sip.
Me and Jer were out of this.
I was waiting on Jason to say something.
You're waiting on me? Of course.
We're East Coast guys. Me and Jer don't count, so we got to ask the West Coast
people.
You
already spoiled them when you told them I was from the East Coast. I'll trade you.
Right. It's tough, man. Like, I definitely think you do a good job, but the authenticity of being that type of character, like, is really hard to nail down. Like, the certain twang and attitude and, you know, like, that niggas had in that era is, like, I don't know. It's so, like, if you were there, you know what I'm saying? Like I was, like, we were, like, my dad is friends with, like, this dude Kincaid who used to run with Suge, you know, like, he was, you know, in there for 20 years, Big U, all these people like I know and been around and like for a long time. So like, you know, I know these people like so well. So it's hard for me to like, you know, like divorce what I know, you know what I'm saying, to, versus like watching the representation. Like, I think it's good acting and like it's very believable, you know, but like, is it like the Crips from then? Like, it's like I said, the accent I think is the thing that really gets me. Like, it's hard to mimic our that Crip accent, you feel me? Like, I think that's
their own accent.
Yeah, for sure. Their own accent. Definitely. Crips and Bloods have each individual
different,
accent.
Different accents?
Yeah, there's different accents. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's crazy. Hold on. Yeah.
So it's a delivery, right? So you could tell, and I mean, Quincy's been around LA a lot now to a point where he's not finding himself in different territories that he's not supposed to be in. But you can tell, like, how I say dog. Just me holding it like, yo, this shit crazy, dog. Somebody will stop and be like, he a Blood.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No. That sounds like how I say dog. Hey, so thank you for letting me know. I want to say dog if I'm
here, bro. Hey, you see, got the red background, too.
You have to understand certain words and certain enunciations represent or associated with certain things. Mm. You know what I'm
like
saying?
Like Bompton, so right?
But even that's a stretch, because that's even more that's even more commercial side, because YG pushes that. But yeah. Modern day gang members are not going to be replaced. I'm like, yeah, pass me a bigger it. I'm in the bitty. Yeah. They're not going to be that's costumed up. You know what I'm saying? To a point where
what,
you know what I mean?
Excuse, what's the bitty? What is that?
The city swap with the
beat. Oh, yeah. Oh, I fell. Yeah.
And even to that point, you could tell from how a nigga looks and walks what gang he's from. So you could tell if a nigga
like
from,
individual, like small,
yeah,
even.
It's yeah, crazy.
Because after a while.
Derv, this is what I love about LA. You can't walk. You can't wear a hat. You can't do shit.
Like, is there a if I'm from one side or the other side, is there a certain way they like roll up too? Like, is there a difference in that shit?
Nah.
So the weed brings everyone together then.
So the thing is about it, right? And you have to understand, it's just kind of like they've done that to separate themselves because it's so many of it. You get what I'm saying? So when you think about a Crip gang, what does your Crip gang do differently besides a color or an association of a logo? Mm. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about certain things, like my mom, right? Shout out to my mom, by the way. My mom is, at this point, she is a triple OG from Santana Block Crip, right? And at 7:22 a.m. or 7:22 p.m., she will take a picture because that is her hood number.
Yo, hold on.
I love this shit. I love this shit. This is crazy.
Your mom was a Crip?
Yeah,
I need you to really pay attention on the pod sometimes.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure he said that before. I think I heard that before.
So Trey's dad is blood royalty, and your mom is a Crip, and that's why you purple, nigga.
so honestly, that was a good 90s joke. But technically, I would be a quote unquote thug baby. Right,
that was so whack.
So when you marry the two, it's basically a thug.
Hey, remember that picture during the riots and the niggas had the red band and the blue band tied together? That was Trey. Yo,
if you wear a Sox hat, my mom is going to like either think you're affiliated because that's her hood's hat. She loves Chicago White Sox. And she's gonna show you so much love off of that. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But if not, if you like
black and white is cool though, right? Like black and white is a cool little color you can wear out there. Like
he just told you the White Sox hat.
I'm not gonna wear a White Sox hat, but if I just come out there black tees, white tees type flow, maybe neutral color shorts, like some grays and shit. Like I'm cool, right?
I hate the dramatics of like out of towners, right? And I understand. So Dion's character,
trying to be safe.
Dion's character would basically be no fly zone. He's tripping off everybody at that particular time of the era.
Okay.
Now it's a little bit more loose where guys are just wearing whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But your energy is going to give off what you welcome. Like, same way if I'm in Philly and I'm just talking crazy loud and you're like, yo, chill, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're relax. On the wrong. You got to relax. That energy, if you come to L.A. and be like, I don't give a fuck, nigga, I'm going to wear my Yankee hat, nigga. And can't nobody tell me shit, nigga, because I'm from, nigga, I'm from Queens, nigga. Or I'm from New York. I'm from Harlem, nigga. Bitch ass niggas. I wish
I just wear dad hats, bro.
You're going to be like, I'm not telling you not to wear your hat. But you're asking for it because you don't know where you are. Secondly, they're going to be like, is he stupid? Because he's insulting me at this point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm going to give you a warning because all LA niggas are mannerable. A nigga not going to just chip you just to chip you, bro. He ain't going to kill you just to kill you, bro. He going to be like, I don't know if you've seen the video where he socked the Mexican dude. And he was like, hey, don't, just don't put that on the dead homie no more. Now get on out of here. A nigga not going to kill you like that, bro. A nigga going to be like, hey, yo. Why are you wearing that hat? So, he's literally going to question you first. Now, if you want to be tough,
tough. Right. It's all in your response at that point. It's really all in the response.
Will my dad hats be an issue?
Hold on.
Dad hats.
Talking about fitted baseball.
Listen, I'm just a dad hat over here, bro.
Get your old ass out of here. Quincy, like. This conversation happens on this pod all the time where me and Gerbil have a question and there's a sermon that comes after it. How deep in the research are you going into? Like, you got the part, now you nailed the part. Now you, like you said, you're watching videos for your own character, for the mannerisms and the talking, but in terms of just the culture, the 80s, the culture, the gang culture, how deep is the research going for you?
It's the same videos for me, same documentaries, because I got a good resource over there, Dub C. So I started talking to Dub, we were talking, and I would call him. I talked to that nigga for like 2-3 hours. You know, I'm on the phone with him. I'm listening to everything he's saying, how he's saying, his cadence, everything.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daya Oat Cream Blend.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing.
My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
And then when we get on set, he was on set, I think, that first day I was there.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money, up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
And so we tweaking little things. Once he hit me with like, once he stamped me that I was good, that's why I'm listening to y'all. And like art is, to me, art is just something everybody gonna interpret it and feel some kind of way about it, right? Dub C tell me, yo, you good, this shit, you on. I'm cool. Ain't no other motherfucker tell me shit because the original nigga has stamped me. I'm cool, right? So like other people will come up to, for instance, I had a Brooklyn nigga come up to me and tell me, yo, I fuck with you on the show crazy, but like, you know, I've been out here for like 3 years and, you know, like you ain't really like the old school LA niggas I know. And I'm looking at him like, nigga, you've been here for 3 years. Like you got 4 niggas you know. And I, because I'm not like the 4 niggas you know, then my shit ain't legit. The fuck out.
Brooklyn niggas, you know what I'm saying? Crazy
like,
as shit.
That's just how, yeah. But like the same way. I'm saying though, like, that's why I say it's for interpretation. Like, I don't take the criticism any type of way. Like, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna do my research and I'm gonna put it out there. And that's kind of what the business is, right? So like, I know the amount of hours I put in. I know what I watched. I know what I researched. I know what I did. I know what I'm putting out there. I know the takes that I'm doing. I know the other takes I'm doing that people don't see. I know the ad-libs I'm throwing in. I know where I got them motherfuckers from, all that type of shit. So it's like, it, you know, it gets real deep if you really, you know, if you really doing it. You know, some people, like I said, like some other shows, other people, like they're not coming with it like that. That's why I think this show is like, that's why I think it captures people the way it does, because people are like really invested in the shit. Not on some like what happens next type shit, but like on some, yo, this is like, this is real heat type.
Yeah.
Thing.
Real quick. I just want to say like, sure. I do think like you do a good job on the show, and also part of what you're saying is a big part of it in terms of like it's art. So like I don't think that Joe Pesci sounds exactly like the mobster he's playing. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like
exactly.
This is what it is. Like you're not supposed to, you know, be 100% Monster Cody, nigga. Like this, you're acting. You know, so like
exactly. Yeah. And it's up to people to interpret how they feel about it and things like that. So for me, it's like, what I've already done is already out there. So for the rest of the show, the season, whatever, people like it, people hate it, people, you know, fuck with it or not, you know, it's already done. I put my work in, you know what I mean?
So, hey, Quincy, real quick, and I apologize. My question isn't all, you know, journalistic as, you know, the said questions before me.
Just ask a goddamn question, man.
I just got to know. What was your like? I just gotta get to it, bro. What was your reaction when you read the script and you saw that there was about to be a tiger and just like in the hood, and niggas is going to get away?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, right? So the way we were doing it at that time, I think COVID was still heavy when we got the script, and so we get the script and then we do a table read on Zoom. So sometimes you may read it through before, or you might just read your shit, you know, whatever little parts you got, just so you know where you at and all that kind of shit. So we sitting on the Zoom, and I wasn't in those scenes, right? So, my camera's off and shit. I'm like, wait, what? I said, how these niggas gonna do, how they gonna get a like, how they gonna do this? And then I was like, I'm gonna just say that a couple of us were a little like, what? But all right, fuck it. You know what? I mean, it ain't up to me. I ain't write the shit. You know what I'm saying? I gotta show up and go to work, right? So at the same time, like, your reaction was crazy. Mine was crazy too. And I actually, like, visually, I actually liked how it looked visually. Like, I was surprised at how well it was done visually, because when it was on the paper, I was like, how the fuck are they gonna do this? Like, that was my biggest question at the time.
Because it looked like a tiger. I mean,
yeah. Oh, I mean, like the crazy shit is, like, as an actor, right, on a show, you're gonna get scripts and you're gonna be like, what the fuck is this? Like, even like you talking about a tiger, that's a one little like funny, like weird thing, but it might be some shit your character is doing, and you're mm-hmm. like, nigga, what the fuck they got me doing this shit for? This don't make no sense. Da da da. And you can't really, you don't have the equity to kind of be like, yo, not change right. this shit. Depending on what show it is and how long you've been on it. So sometimes you go ahead and have to do some shit and you're like, yo, this don't make any sense to me. All the work I've done before this, this little notebook I got right here on this character, all this shit, this thing that you got me doing right now makes no sense.
Yo,
and
that
sometimes
shit.
You can go and say something, sometimes you can't. You
nigga Quincy be in here tripping. They done put a forgot to mute. They done put a fucking tiger. Niggas gonna kill his character. All right, kill Dion. Big Dion. End of season four.
Big Dion hit by car.
You know, you know what's funny about that when you say that, right? The crazy shit is the character was only supposed to be 2 episodes, and he was supposed to die. What? But because they fucked with the way I did it so well that they just kept me on. They kept me all the way through. Like, I was at the rap party, and I talked to the writer that created, Janine Daniels, that created the character. And she was like, I'm so happy you made it all the way through. Like, this is supposed to only be a small thing, but, like, you did your thing. And they were like, yo, they got to keep you all the way on. I was like, oh, good shit.
And that was the first time you found out? You know? That was the first time you found out that they were actually supposed to kill you?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Because when I finished season 4, they were like, the showrunner was there when I was shooting my scenes, and he pulled up and he was like, man, he's like, you know, I think we're gonna be back here. You know, but you know, nigga, yeah, in this business, people say shit to you all the time. Yep. I talked to Trey about this before. I told him plenty of stories, like all these other shows I've done. Like, there was a time when I thought my shit was about to go crazy because I was doing Orange is the New Black, I was doing mm-hmm. The Get Down, and I was doing like the Stephon Marbury movie at the same time. And I'm like, oh shit, Orange, this shit about to pop because it's like the biggest show on Netflix, whatever. And it did pop like crazy when my character came on. But then the next season, they like changed the whole shit. Like, all the women got spread over to different jails. So like, my character was gone. The Get Down got it didn't get renewed. I think Baz Luhrmann just didn't want to do it anymore. And then the movie was done. And I was like, shit, I gotta find the next job. It's crazy how the business is, because like, you'll be so fucking busy and like, people are telling you all kinds of shit like, you definitely gonna be back, we're gonna da 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 da, and so you just let all that shit go, you just go do your thing and then float to the next joint, you know what I mean? And that's how this one worked out.
So let me ask you this, Quincy, because you talked about several times about like, this show, the approach is different, mm-hmm. The acting is more like the level of seriousness, the actors are coming to the project with is a higher level than other projects, perhaps. Typically, is that something that happens because the cast says, hey man, we're all serious? Is it something that happens when you read the script, you're like, yo, I need to step it up? Or is that something that from the director, like the director's more demanding of you, and so you're putting out a higher performance level? Because I've seen it's this. I've seen you know what I'm saying? Because I see actors in some stuff, and I'm like, oh, it was whack. And then I'm like, yo, what, like, if you could do this, why didn't that happen there? You know?
Well, you know, like, I kind of touched on it a little bit, right? Like, sometimes it's the writing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can only do so much with poor writing, right? Like, if y'all don't believe the kind of shit they got people doing, like, we can only do so much, like. And there's things that you think are going to be great. You might do a project. You might do a show. You might do a film. You're like, yo, this is dope on paper. And then you start shooting it, and it's like, I don't know about this one. And then you see it after, and it's like, you know? But I think mostly for this show specifically, I really believe it's the actors. And I mean, it's a comment. It's John Singleton, you know, but rest in peace. I mean, that's the GOAT right there, right? So I think his start before he passed set the course for everything and set the standard for everything. So everybody knew what the fuck, like, yo, you fucking on some John Singleton shit. You better bring your shit. So I'm sure like the pressure was on from early with all these dudes, everybody on the show from top to bottom. I mean, to costumes, everybody's like really on it. So I think it's hard to put it on one thing. I wouldn't say the director because the directors change all the time. Mm-hmm. So like the director of episodes 1 and 2 didn't direct 3 and 4, mm-hmm. right? So the directors are totally different. Sometimes you might get an actor's director that really wants to like have you tweak things and like change the way that you're approaching things and ask you questions. And you might have a director that's more visual, that's about the shot, right? Mm-hmm. That's like, yo, I want you to, when you do this, be here and you could do your thing. But like, I'm trying to get this. Right. So it's just very different. The actors though, I mean like, well, y'all already know Damson, Eamon, Angela, yeah. Gail. I mean, Isaiah. I mean, they're beasts. Everybody, every time you watch the show, they're eating. Everybody's eating.
Right. So Quincy, you know? You said that some scenes that you've done or seen have not had that effect that, you know, they made you go, ugh, like what? Maybe give me a scene that you've done or that you've even seen, if you don't want to implicate your own work, that you felt like that wasn't really hidden.
I can't think of anything on this show right now. Well, no, you know what? No spoilers, but there's something coming up that we tweaked. We had to tweak. I'm gonna put it that way. We had to tweak. Right. And I personally was like, no, we need to tweak this because this ain't
right.
It's got to go a certain way,
right,
for it to make sense. So what, I'm gonna hold that.
Yeah. What about the opposite? Has the opposite ever happened where you're like, this don't make no sense, and then you did it, and then when you watch it play out, obviously has been edited, and you know the final version, you're like, fuck, they really nailed it. I didn't know, I wasn't sure of it when I was doing it, but now I see the vision that they had.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, as an actor, you're connecting, you're dealing with this one person, right, in the scene, or you're dealing with whoever you're talking to and all of that, the environment's around you, right? So sometimes it's a little difficult to step all the way back out and, like, see the big picture, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's almost like if you're, like, a post player and the point guard is, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you worried about your little area right here, but the point guard's worried about the whole floor, or the coach is worried about the whole floor. So sometimes, like, your singular motivation can sort of cloud your vision for everything else. So it happens. Yeah. It happens all the time. You know, you get some shit and you're like, it's gonna be whack, and you do it. I'm like, damn, okay, I got it. Like, not a hit. Especially, you know, we do so many takes, man. That's the thing about TV versus like theater. Because I've done some theater, and I think every actor should do theater. Like, I don't care what level you're at, because. Right. It's just a nonstop. That's game day right there.
What's like, the difference? What's the big difference?
Oh my God, bro. Theater, like you ain't get no break. You can't just fuck up and be like, cut. Stop. We're gonna start over. Oh, let's bring it back. You know what I mean? It's like it's constant. So any little flub, you gotta just land on your feet. Any little thing. Whereas TV or film, you're like, all right, here we're gonna do it. Camera here, close up here. Okay, stop. Yeah, cut. 3, 2, 1, cut, stop there, cut, stop there, cut. You're doing the thing like 20, 30 times. You know, depending on the angles and stuff like that, you know, depending on how big the shot is, you know, how many extras, all that kind of stuff. So it can get really, really like, I mean, it's challenges to both. I shouldn't act like theater is way more difficult. But to me, I just think that experience is necessary for actors.
Yeah, that's wild. Because I was used to be when I did TV, because most of the stuff that I did was live. SportsCenter was live. The Jump was live. Mm-hmm. Sports Nation was live. And then I go do Highly Questionable. Highly Questionable's tape. So we're doing multiple. If they didn't like that tape, we're doing it again, right? If Poppy ends with a joke that's not safe for work, we got to do the whole thing again, which is a lot. Like, everyone's like, does he write his own jokes? I'm like, not really, because if you let him write his own jokes, we wouldn't be on TV. Everything is yeah. You can't say that. You can't say that word, or you can't make that insinuation or whatever. But I found tape was so much harder because Yeah, man, it's just it's weird because you talk about earlier when it comes to auditioning, you need the pressure of live in front of the dude.
Oh, yeah, I'm the
same way, man. I like the idea, like we got one take of doing this. You messed this up. Like you messed it up, and you just have to find a way to keep it moving or adapt or improvise off of that moment. Whereas like going back and having to do it again, what ends up happening is it takes me like 100 takes. Because I can't.
Yeah, you can get
up
into your neuroses.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Kind of like, you know, get a little OCD and a little jumpy about every little thing.
Yep.
It can get like that too with the tapes, the auditions, man. Cause like you do one take and you're like, oh yeah, all right, that was cool. You're like, oh, but let me watch it. Oh, this little thing here, this little thing there, this little. And you gotta just be able to like let it be messy, man. I learned that from one casting director that told me this years ago. She was like, I was like, damn, I wish I was like, I could have hit that perfect, you know? And she was like, perfect. Like, we don't want perfect. We want messy. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You want it a little messy because everybody, like, they put the words on the paper. You come in and you're doing the exact freaking thing that they have there. Like, that's not what they really want. You know, there's certain things. If you're doing a real small role, like, you got a couple lines. Mm-hmm. I remember one of my old agents, right? He had this client that they let go of because she was supposed to play like a nurse or something like that. And it was like a two line thing, but she wanted to act like she came and did the audition like the nurse had Tourette's. Like, that's not your job. Your job is to come in and say, thank you, sir. We might have to put the IV in. Okay. Oh, Mr. Johnson, you're going to come in and then walk out. You don't need to be doing, you're not trying to show all this different thing that you could do in that little nurse number one role. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta give the nurse a backstory.
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes people do weird stuff like that. And you know what? I mean, it's a big risk. I mean, sometimes it can work. You never know, man. This business is so crazy that, like, they will never forget that nurse that came in and did that shit. I know that. They're not, whoever the casting director is, they're not gonna forget her. She didn't get that part, but they're not gonna forget that person that did that. So you never know.
Yeah. Quincy, we love you, my nigga, but we gotta move the fuck on.
Yeah, move it on,
my G. Hey, you sticking around? Are you? What's up?
What's up? What you mean? I'm here.
All right, what? Cool.
He's here.
All right,
there we go. Here for the whole
episode. Hey, for those listening,
we're here.
Quincy, where can they find you on social?
Oh, Quincy Chad, man. I'm easy breezy. Quincy Chad. That's it.
Quincy, thank you so much, brother, man, for joining us. We appreciate you, brother. This is great. This is awesome. And now hopefully we can have you back soon. Jerv, Trey, Jay, thank you all as always. And again, patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you are locked in. You get all the extra content. You get this whole podcast all at once as opposed to little bitty ones every single day. Until next time, stay black, motherfuckers.